So what are we talking about today? Oh, man, I gave you the answers, right? God's word, our power. Let's turn to John, the fifth chapter. John, the fifth chapter. And last week, we saw this man that had been sick for a long, long time. Somebody say a long time. 38 years to be exact. A long time. 38 years. Jesus meets him. He doesn't even know who it is. See, the word of God is powerful in itself. The power is in the word. And so he doesn't even know who it is. And yet this guy tells him to take up your bed and walk. And he does it. Now, I don't even care if you say, yeah, but he might have felt strength in his legs. How many know 38 years, even if you felt strength in your legs, you would have a lot of reasons to doubt that you could get up. See, that's what I'm telling you. We have this battle taking place all the time. But it's his words really will be your power if you will allow them to be your power. That's why one of the passages that we started off with in this series is Romans chapter 3, verses 3 through 4. The question is asked, well, what if there are some who don't believe? The question is, will it change the faithfulness of God? And he answers and says, absolutely it won't affect the faithfulness. God is faithful. And God is faithful to his word. He exalts his word. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. Why? Because it's so rock solid, steady. It's so rock solid. Listen, the person who has a solid life, you know who they are? The one who is going to firmly leg down on the word of God and say, that's true. But the person, they're going to dig deep. That's what the Bible says. They're going to dig deep. They're going to find that bedrock of strength in the word of God. There's so many people floundering. So many even Christian people that go to church floundering. Why? Because, you know what? One minute they believe, the next minute they don't. They walk by what they see. And so because I'm telling you what, you want to get confused? Start living your life based on what you see, what you feel, on your senses. You're going to be in trouble. But if you will say, no, God said this, I don't care what the circumstances look, I'm just going to stay with this. Now, through the course of time. You know what? I don't care. 1,000 might fall on my one side and 10,000 in my right hand. But as far as me, I'm not moving. I'm sticking with what God said. Amen. Now listen, that is unusual. Even in church people, that is unusual. And people will make a testimony against God and say, see, that doesn't work. See, no, look at the circumstances. Well, if you started to really question what's really going on in people's lives, but how many know that's taboo? That's forbidden. We are forbidden to question our belief level. Well, Jesus questioned the belief level of the apostles all the time. Is this true? How many read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John? How many know he's questioning the apostles' belief? And when they don't believe, he confronts them. Says, man, why didn't you believe? What's your problem? But in today's church, whoa, don't go there. You know what I mean? No, hey, we need to go there, do we not? And I don't need to do so much judging of George and Joanne, but I need to do some judging of me. Does that make sense? Amen. And after I've gotten the log out of my eye, not to be condescending to George and Joanne, but to be their friend. How many know I am my brother's keeper? How many know we are our brother's keeper? And because I've developed a relationship with George and Joanne, I can invite them out to eat. And I'm going to pay. Amen. But we're not, I'm not here just to eat. Amen. I'm here to be a friend. And friendship includes, hey, can we talk about this? Because I don't know everything. Maybe I misjudged it. I'm just using these two as example because we are friends. And they won't walk out and be, how come you, you know, they won't do that. Amen. They're not easily offended. They have maturity that I can use them as an example. Does that make sense? How many know in the church sometimes we're so easily offended? Pastor can't bring any correction with anybody. You know what? There's church of pastor, they're just tipping toe through the tulips. You know what I mean? Oh, I better not do that. Oh, I better not bring any correction to anybody. Well, why don't you sit down and become a manager of a bowling alley then? Amen. No, really. Why don't you do that? Amen. Because how many know people do need correction? But they don't need correction that we're not looking at our own life first and getting the log out of our eye. And after that, then, even then, you don't come assuming anything. You come asking some questions. Amen. And sometimes it can get a little sticky. Amen. You know? Hey, there was this story, and there was this guy, and he had all these sheep, all these lambs. He was a big wig. He had all kind of lambs. And then there was this other guy. He just had one lamb. He loved that lamb. And this guy that had all these lambs, he came on over and looked at this one guy's lamb and thought, ooh la la, I like your lamb. And he took that guy's lamb away. How many know this story? He said to David, what you think about that guy?
Oh, man, that guy was wrong. I can't believe he did that.
And then his friend said, you're that guy. And he knew instantaneously. How many know sometimes we need to be honest with people? Okay, not in a judgmental way. But develop relationship with people. And then be your brother's keeper. Amen? Amen. So this guy, he's, you know what, has an ability after 38 years. How many know, man, our mind is powerful. Even he might have felt, and the Bible doesn't say, we don't know. He might have felt nothing in his legs. I'm assuming there. I don't know. Why? Because the Bible doesn't tell us. When you're teaching, make sure you don't say what the Bible doesn't say. Be a good pastor. Be a good teacher and don't read into the text what it doesn't say. I can say what I'm saying. I don't know. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. That's okay because at least you guys know. And it is possible because we don't know every detail. But he could have felt something big in his legs. He could have felt nothing. Right? But no matter what, Let's just pretend he felt strength in his legs. How many know your mind could say, dude, you're going to fall on your face. Don't get up. How many believe Satan very possibly could have been telling him that? I think that's exactly what Satan is telling him. Stay down. But what did he do? It was God's word, but God's word is given to us. Isn't that what it says? We're going to look at it, I think, Sunday. The Bible says, you know what? Higher is his ways. And then he gives an example and says, the word of God is like the rain that comes down from heaven. You know what the rain comes down for? How many enjoyed, you know what, all the rains that we got this last year? Man, my grass was so beautiful this year. Why? Because we got rain. See, that rain is sent to do something. What? It's sent to make grass green. It's sent to make the trees flourish, that you could have orange and orange juice and lemon and lemonade. Somebody say amen to that. He says, just like that, the word of God is sent to do something. What was it sent to do for this 38-year-old? Or 38-year-old. Man who had been sick for 38 years. It was designed to get him up. But his word is only your power if you say, that's good for me. Amen. Amen. I like what Shayla's teaching tonight. She said this. She said, you know what? Usually, and I believe this is true, usually it's a 10 to 2 ratio. For every 10 people are saying, dude, you can get that better job. Man, you can get that better training. You can make it happen. You know what? I think that's a good idea. You're going to have 10 other people who are going, dude, I don't think you can do it, man. That's a bad idea. You know who, you know what? Yeah, you know, your crazy pastor and your wife believe in you, but you know what? You know. And there's part of us that have a thought of to believe those 10. Listen to me. Don't believe the 10. Believe the 2. Amen. I preached a sermon one time, and I said, you know what? Usually, the majority is wrong. How many know this is true? Hey, not always. Sometimes the majority is right, but usually, the majority is wrong. How many found that to be true? And you better incline your ear to that two. You better find the two that are preaching the word of God and incline your ear to that group. Amen. Amen. One of the reasons I enjoy and I encourage you to listen to Joyce Meyer. Amen. Well, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's a woman preacher. You know what I mean? Amen. You know, the Bible says God's not a respecter of persons. Amen. Do you know that? You know, the New Testament says there's neither male or female. Amen. Yeah, but what about it? Do the research. Amen. Find out what Paul was talking about when he told people, you know what, when he told women to be quiet. How many know Paul told all kind of people to be quiet? Read your Bible. He told all kind of people to be quiet. Amen. And those women in that church needed to be quiet. He was dealing with all kinds of false doctrine, and he needed to qualify. You know what? I only want certain men in this church preaching. Everybody else, you all be quiet. Well, I don't think Paul should have done that. I do. You know what? There's so much bad theology going on nowadays. And he was a great, wasn't just a great pastor, he was a great overseer. He was a bishop over men. And so he had to come back and go, whoa, 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 wait, in this church? You know, y'all over here? Just be quiet right now. I'm not saying that, but I'm giving an example, right? Amen? How many know there are some people in the church, theologically, and you need to not listen to them? Oh, see, I don't know. No, trust me. How many of those are some people in the church, and they're so immature that they should really be quiet? Amen. Amen. They should really be quiet. You know, listen to me. You know that the that these people were coming and sitting at the apostles' feet every single day. You know what the Bible says they were listening to? Their doctrine. How many know we need to select people who have got good doctrine and listen to their doctrine? Oh, you could say amen to this. Amen. And we, what'd you say? Amen. That's right. That's right. Oh my goodness. I could go on and on and on about all kinds of stuff, that goes on in the church. Amen. And listen, and some of it in our church. Amen. Oh, wow, it got quiet all of a sudden. Amen. Listen, let me tell you who's some good teachers in our church that you need to listen to. You know what? Listen to Shayla. Yeah, but she's only 23. Amen. But you know what? She's got good genes. Come on, somebody say amen to this. What I'm saying is, listen, Paul says to Timothy, hey, wait a minute, Jackson. Don't let other people look at your age. You know what? I've spent a lot of time raising you up and raising you up and raising you up and raising you up. You know, you can have a 58-year-old. Don't be offended if you're 58. You may have a 58-year-old who's, listen, even been in the church for 30 years. And they don't know squat. Amen. Why? Because they're ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Listen to Joel. You want to listen to some good teaching? Listen to Joel. Yeah, but he's not even 30 years old. Yeah, I know. But he spent 8 years underneath my leadership. And listen, and I'm not telling you about like just under, I'm telling you under my leadership, listening to what I tell him to do, allowing me to instruct him. See, we have, how many glad you came today? See, we've missed the boat as far as allowing somebody to train us, a mentorship model that's in the Word of God. We think we can just get on the internet and listen. Paul says, no, let me tell you what. There's a difference between somebody who can teach and somebody who's invested as your spiritual father. Amen. Amen. You want to listen to a good teacher? You listen to Tamara. She's a great teacher. Yeah, but she doesn't teach that much. Okay, but just listen. Because she'll teach all the time. How many know a teacher, you know what, they don't have to be behind a podium to teach. They're teaching all the time. Amen. Isaac, very good teacher. Amen. Isaac, you know what, his father's been a pastor. But listen to this, but Isaac has been here 10 years. You know, and even though his father was pastor and he submitted himself to his father, but when he came to this church, he submitted himself to me and has allowed me to mold and shape him. These people have listened to hundreds and I would say thousands of sermons from their pastor. Amen. The power that this guy has is because he listened to the words of Jesus and he obeyed those words of Jesus. And so it allows him to be in a whole different place. Doesn't even know who Jesus is exactly. Well, the Bible says, they came up to who, you know, why are you doing this? He's like, I don't know, man. Why are you doing this on the Sabbath?
Oh, no, that guy told me to. He didn't even know who it was. Is that not right?
Look at verse 14. Guys in the back, go to 14. After Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Now Jesus is going to bring him some correction. How many know we like when Jesus says, "Lift up your bed and walk"? How many know we need to like this part too? Yeah, that's true, huh, Tony? We got to like it all. Because watch this. How many know this is part of him? How many know it's good to get healed? How many know it's good to stay healed? Come on, somebody here tonight. You know, who cares? You know what? Who cares that none of the Dodgers are going, "Ooh, we went to the World Series last year." None of the Dodgers are saying that. You think any of the Dodgers are saying, "Ooh, we were, hey, what are you talking about? We were in second place." You think any of the Dodgers are saying that? No, they ain't saying that. Who beat the Dodgers in the World Series last year? Boston? How many know Boston's not saying that? No. They're saying we won. What's my point? Who cares? Who cares who was winning in the second inning? You can't say, "Oh, I was winning in the third quarter." You know what I mean? How many of the Lakers had a good team last year at Christmas time? Come on, you Lakers fans. You act like you don't know what I'm talking about. But who cares? See, Jesus, let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus will tell you something, and he'll tell you how to get healed, and then he'll tell you how to stay healed. And sometimes the correction that Jesus has, sometimes him going to tell you, like this guy, he says, you know what? Watch, after Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." We want to act like we can sin, you know, in this hyper grace that's being taught. We want to act like we can sin and there's no consequence of sin. Jesus says there is consequence of sin. I said, Jesus said there is consequence of sin.
Amen. Come on. Amen, Pastor.
You know, you think you could just go drinking on the weekend and it's not going to make no difference? No. No. No, listen to me. Listen to me. Don't get drunk with wine. Do you know the Bible tells us to not do that? Oh, Pastor, if you say that too much, but you know what? People aren't going to come to your church. Well, you know what? If you don't say that, you know what? Listen, maybe somebody's, you know what, possibly going to get a DUI in the next 30 days. How many know if the Holy Spirit can tell me to tell somebody that? Amen. Save you from a lot of pain, getting your car towed and impounded. And save you, you know, I don't know how much you spend now, you know, on the first DUI, thousands of dollars. Amen. How many know this is true? What? Minimum $30,000. How much do you think it's going to cost you the second DUI? And here's the thing. You know what? You can get as drunk as you want. Bible doesn't tell you not to get drunk. What? That's false doctrine. The Bible doesn't tell you not to get drunk. The Bible says don't get drunk with wine. Indicating he's talking about, you know what, that the Holy Spirit. How many of the Holy Spirit will satisfy you like nothing else can satisfy you? Amen. See, what am I saying? Sometimes the Holy Spirit will bring correction. Paul says, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Sometimes Jesus will bring correction, and that correction is because he loves you. So let's receive all of the word. Amen. Not just portions of it that tickle our ears. And so he finds this guy. Watch this. He finds this guy. Why? Because he loves this guy. And he brings correction. Now watch this. Look at verse 19. And Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. He's saying, guys, wait, listen, I'm an example to you. The reason why I have power is because I first, watch, but when he sees the Father do it, for whatever he does, the Son does in like manner. Somebody say after. See, first he sees God do it, and then he does what God tells him to do. What's he saying? Here's what he's saying. Listen, I'm not in control. My Father's in control. Christianity 101. Here's what it is. Ready? Lose control and let God be in charge. That's why so many people reject Christ. Because let me tell you about Christ. Christ is confident enough to say, I'm smarter than you. The question is, are we smart enough to say, you're smarter than us? Because if we are, we're going to walk in the effectiveness that Jesus Christ walked in. See, that doesn't sound religious, does it? But it's truth. Watch this. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And, you know, you never know what God's going to do. No, if you listen, if you get in the frequency of God, you're going to know exactly what he's going to do. The Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the Son and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. What's he doing? He's actually having this conversation with these people who are upset. Let's put it back in context. Who are upset with the guy who got healed. Thank you. Put it back in context. What's happening? These people are going, hey, well, wait a minute. Why are you carrying your bed? They're like, oh, no, man, that guy told me. Then in the context, he goes back to this guy, and now he's talking. Watch this. Verse 21. And as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgments to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoa, time out. Here's many people's problem. They don't honor the words of God. That's this whole point. Watch, I'll show it to you. He who does not honor the Son, say honor.
Honor.
What's the point? Here's the whole point. I'm going to teach you the whole point of this argument. What's really going on? It's really an argument that Jesus is saying, hey, you need to honor me. And your dishonor for me is dishonoring the Father. And you are going to couch it in a religiosity that you believe in Moses. How many know religious people, you know what? They bring a smoke screen. Many people are going to tell you how long they've been saved. Do I hear a 20, 20, 20? Do I have a 30, 30, 30? Okay, anyway. So, sometimes I just get excited about the word, man. So, what was I saying? I don't even know what I was saying, but it was good. People, sometimes religious people, they do this smoke screen of, you know what? They've been, oh yeah, that's what it is. They've been saved for 20 years. They've been saved for 30 years. They do this ministry. You know what? They got saved up at camp, you know, 300. They spoke in tongues. I'm not speaking against speaking in tongues. It's a wonderful thing. I'm just saying, I'm not saying being in church a long time is not a wonderful thing. I'm just saying, many times the people will come up with a bunch of jive, and when it comes down to it, they just don't trust God. And Jesus is saying, wait, time out. How come you're disrespecting me? Because let me tell you what, you disrespect me, you're disrespecting the Father. Watch this. Verse 22. For the Father judges no one, verse 23, that all should honor the Son. All should honor the Son. And they honor the Father. When you honor the Son, you honor the Father. These people, oh yes, you know what, I believe in God. I just don't believe Jesus. Listen, this is politically incorrect. Well, I'll tell you what, you're not honoring the Father. Yeah, we believe in this. We're Hare Krishnas. We're Muslim. We're all this. Oh, Pastor, you shouldn't say that. You should be inclusive. I inclusively love people. But the truth is the truth. And a lie is a lie. And you cannot honor the Father without honoring Jesus. I'll give you a way better chance to say amen. Way louder than that. And you cannot honor the Father without honoring Jesus. You can't. It's time for the church to stand up and say, hey, listen, we have the truth. We are the light. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. You don't like it? Okay. You can call me names? Call me names. But Paul did this all the time. And people rejected him all the time, but he didn't care. He didn't care if all these people reject him. If I got four people who are going to go, whoa, praise God, I'll take the four. And I don't care that all these people don't like me, because you're all worth it. I know not everybody's going to believe, but I'm not about me. I'm just about, my life is not my own. I'm going to just preach the gospel and let the chips, you know what Jesus said, if they believe, they're going to be saved. If they don't, they're already condemned already. Jesus is the one who saves you. There's nobody good. See, they all said, no, I don't need it. We don't need it. You know, we can just, you know what? We can just, you know, do whatever. You know what? We just believe in this. We just, no. Jesus is the only way. No one gets to the Father except through him. So Jesus is saying, guys, you're talking about, you're dishonoring me. Let me tell you, you're dishonoring the Father. Most assuredly, 24, most assuredly I say, guys, I'm telling you the truth. He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but pass from death to life. Wow, how many want to not be judged? Well, you better get the blood of Jesus on you. Amen. Because the blood of Hare Krishna is not going to help you. Amen. Amen. Muhammad ain't going to help you. Amen. Buddha's not going to help you. Amen. Amen. Your bank account ain't going to help you. Amen. Amen. Your education's not going to help you. Your majority of finding other people who believe like you believe that there's not no God. Listen, let me tell you, let me testify. Here, give me this one. There is a God. He's Jehovah. His son is Jesus. And everyone's going to find that out someday. Amen. That's the truth. Amen. Most assuredly, I say to you, who hears my words and believes him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come to judgment, but has passed into death from life. Most assuredly, again, he said, like, man, I'm telling you the truth, guys. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live. For the Father has life in himself. So he has granted the Son to have life in himself. You see the honor? Honor the Father, you're going to honor the Son. And these guys aren't honoring the Son. And has passed him and has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave shall hear the voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of evil. We talked about that last week. Good is to honor God and honor Jesus and accept Jesus. Now go down to verse 38. But you do not have his word abiding in you. You're religious, but you don't really believe me. Because whom he sent him, you do not believe. You don't believe Jesus? Guess what? You don't believe me. No, I can believe. I can believe God, but not believe Jesus. Jesus says, no, you can't. You're conning yourself. Hey, just because you think you're saved doesn't mean you're saved. How many of those? A lot of people who think they're saved. But if you dishonor Jesus, you're not saved. You search the scriptures, watch this, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Well, read what the scriptures are saying. And these are this which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you might have life. You know it takes a humility to say that you're wrong? How many know it takes humility to say you're wrong? It takes humility to say, man, I've just been arrogant most of my life, just living my life. Even if you've been raised in a Christian home. Sometimes you can be arrogant just living your life by yourself, doing whatever you think. Verse 41, but I do not receive honor from men. No. The authority that I have doesn't come because you agree with me. I have authority because my authority came from the Father. How many know Jesus wasn't looking to get his accomplishment from men? Men, all kind of men didn't believe him. He didn't sweat them. He didn't think, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? You don't believe. Watch this, verse 42. But I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I know Jesus straight up with people. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. Man, this is talking about this day. This guy says, oh, let me tell you what I believe. I believe in, if you do this and you go like this and you say this and you know, all kinds of stuff. And just, you know what? How many know this is true? Somebody reads a book and how to get to heaven. And they're just like, I'll tell you what, you know what? Everything is one and one is everything. And you have to center yourself and empty yourself and become one because we're all one. And you get that book, you're like, oh. Who wrote that book? Watch this. What this is this not true? And all of a sudden, you do exactly this thing. This is taking place right now. Watch what it says. I came from my Father. And you did not receive me. But if another comes in his own name, him you received. Oh, look, I read this book. Oh, I got this book from my friend. Ooh, it's so helpful. It just causes you. I just feel so much better with myself. You're like, you don't want, oh look. They went to the University of, you know what, of North Dakota. You know what? Oh my goodness, look. Ooh. Where did they come? They came in a man's name. And you're receiving them? Just like this. Are you catching this? And you're receiving them? Like they know what they're talking about? All I have come in my father, 44. How can you believe who received honor from another? Somebody else says this person is good. I can name some names. People who used to serve God and love God, but gotten away from the truth and have big, big, big influence in the media. Bunch of junk, spiritual junk, worth nothing. And all these people, intellectuals, going to agree that they know more and they're all smart and they're all going to agree. God don't care. I say, y'all can agree. You're all wrong. Amen. Do you think that I should accuse you to the Father? There is one who accuses you. Oh, who it is? Who accuses them? Moses, in whom you trust. What's he doing? What's Jesus doing? Jesus is trying to connect with these stubborn people. Can I tell you what God does? He will try his very best to find someone who you will trust, who some kind of connection. That's what he's trying to do. He's really loving people, and he says, okay, well, who do they? Oh, Moses. Watch what he does. This is so good. Do you guys got a little bit more time? Watch what he does. Watch what he does. 46. If you indeed believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. Huh. When did he do that? Well, look in your cross reference and turn back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And look at verse 15. This is Moses writing. And Moses says this: the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. How many know Moses was a prophet? From your midst, from your brethren, him you should hear. Somebody say, him you should hear. Now, go down to verse 18. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And he, watch this, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Here's what he's saying. I rose Moses up, and I'm going to raise another prophet from amongst them. And him you should listen to. Hey, guys, you believe Moses? Why don't you believe his prophetic? Why do you question what I'm saying to you? Because I'm telling you the truth. Can I tell you about God? God will do everything he can to get his word over to you, what the truth is. You know, the Bible says, my children die from a lack of knowledge. Do you know what it says after that? It says this: because they have rejected my knowledge. There's a rejection. And that's what these people are doing. These people want to criticize this guy. Imagine this. They want to criticize this guy who's been sick for 38 years. You know why they want to criticize him? What do you think his bed looked like? You think he has like a big mattress that he's carrying like this? Or do you think he's got probably a little roll-up thing that he's just carrying around like this? You know why they want to criticize him? Because they considered carrying a bed, they considered that work. How many believe that, you know what, those people ought to be praising the Lord Jesus for healing this man who's been sick for 38 years? Amen. That's what we ought to be doing. Praising God for what he's done. A life redeemed. What? By the Son. That's what we ought to be doing. That's what we ought to be doing in our church. Thanking God for what he's doing in our life. Amen. Thanking God for what he's doing in our midst. Thanking God for the redemption that he's causing. And believing him. And even, listen, even beyond what we can see. That if God says it, we believe it. We're not going to argue with Jesus. We're just going to say, I don't understand it. I'm not sure I get it all. I might not get it all, but here's what I know. God said it, and I'm going to believe it beyond what I can see, beyond what makes sense to me. You know what? I don't have to figure it all, but I'm going to believe it because God said it. And listen, those are the people that are going to walk in the blessings of God. Those are the people that are going to raise themselves up. And listen, and you might not see it 1 week. You might not see it in 1 month. You might not see it in 1 year. But if you will not grow weary in doing good in due season, you're going to reap if you don't lose heart. Amen? And there's so many people, even people in the church, and they just get weary. They just get tired. They just like, man, can I tell you what? Don't get tired. Don't give up. Don't stop believing Jesus. Don't stop believing Jesus for your kids. Don't stop believing Jesus for your marriage. Don't stop believing Jesus, you know what, for your business. Don't stop believing Jesus in your body that you would walk in healing. Don't stop believing. These are promises that God has given. So just, but what about all these people? Yeah, what about it? Amen. They're going, you listen, you don't want to be like these men. You don't want to be like these men. You don't want to be like these men, because let me tell you what, they'll criticize everything about everybody. Amen. I listen to, I you know what, there's so many people on the internet, and they're critical about Joyce Meyer, and they're critical about, you know what, this person and that person. They're critical about Joel Osteen. Amen. Oh, he doesn't preach the word. Egads. I get in trouble defending Joel Osteen. But listen to his preaching. He preaches Jesus. I had never heard him speak that I don't hear him preach the gospel. Amen. And he might not do it like your pastor. Amen. But pay attention to how much scripture he uses. Amen. How many know it's so easy just to criticize? Oh, I don't think. Listen. You know what? He might not be your favorite pastor. But shutteth thou upeth. All this criticism in the church, and most of it coming by people who don't do squat. Amen. They don't do squat. They don't give squat. You know what? They don't do anything. Oh, but criticize. Oh, let me find. Oh, look at you. You're carrying a bed. How do you do that? in this incredible 38 years, an incredible miracle, and that's what you get out of that? Amen. How many need to repent tonight for criticizing? You know what? Stuff that you ought to just be quiet about. I'm just asking. God will receive that. Because I'm telling you what, you're either going to get part of the solution or you're part of the problem. Jesus said it like this, you're either for me or against me. You know what Jesus said? He said, let me tell you what you're doing. You're either gathering or scattering. You think you can just do a little criticism, just do a little negativity? Amen. Here, let me just quote the word to you. The Bible says, let not one word proceed out of your mouth, that which is edifying for the hearer. Oh, Pastor, nobody can do that. Oh, excuse me, theologian. So God is just telling us to do something we can't do? Oh, yeah, I remember that passage. You know what? We can do all things except control our tongue. Does the Bible say that? No. Listen, you and I can all control our tongue. Amen? How many believe that? You don't believe that? Just go over to Home Depot. You know what? They got this stuff. I think it's aisle 8. You know what? It's called duct tape. Come on, don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. It's called duct tape. You know, get a big roll. You know, make sure you don't cover up your nose, okay? I don't want anybody accusing me of anything. Just wrap it around. Just walk around the whole week. I'm telling you what you're going to see. You're going to see. Oh, my goodness. But what pastor preach about today? Oh, no, it was weird tonight. Pastor told me to get some duct tape and put it around my mouth. Yeah. Amen. What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, guys, really? This is what you want to do? You want to criticize this guy? Man, no. Believe Moses. Believe the prophets. The prophet said there's going to be a prophet. And I'm right in front of your midst. I mean, God is right in front of our midst. God is listening to every word we say. And God believes in you. Tamara and I believe in you. You think I could preach this strong to a bunch of little babies? No, y'all all run out of here and, you know what, go somewhere else. No. You know what? You can take it. I'm ain't going to walk out of here happy today. You know what I mean? Amen. I'm ain't going to buy me a box of chocolates today. I haven't said that in a long time. Eh? C's. Don't give me those cheap Russell candies over at Rite Aid. You know, don't give me any of that. I don't want those Russell candies. You know, that's cheap, man. Amen. Amen. Trust me, I say that jokingly. I say it jokingly because it makes you laugh. But I do say it serious. I really don't want C's candy, but I do say it seriously. We need to have appreciation for someone who will confront us. And how many know who's ultimately confronting us? How many know Jesus? Jesus knew that we were going to read this today. Can somebody raise their hand and say, Pastor, thank you for helping me today. Father, our hands are raised up. We recognize that ultimately you are the one. You are the one who's helping us. The Holy Spirit is here in this place. So help us to whatever's been said, whatever issue we have, help us to be willing to not be those crazy guys that are finding something critical. Help us to believe you, whatever you tell us. Help us to be those people that will speak grace to people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen, amen, amen.